Wherever.
Dvijaha.
The brahmanas.
Gavaha.
The protected cows.
Vedaha.
The Vedic culture.
Varna ashrama.
Of the Aryan civilization.
Of four varnas and four ashramas.
Kriyaha.
The activities.
Tam tam.
That.
Janapadam.
To the city or town.
Yata.
Go.
Sannipayata.
Sannipayata.
Set fire.
Rishchakta.
Cut down all the trees.
So translation. Immediately go wherever there is good protection of the cows and brahmanas and wherever the Vedas are studied in terms of the Varnashrama principles. Set fire to those places and cut from the roots the trees there, which are the source of life. So purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. The picture of a proper human civilization is indirectly described here. It is in a perfect human civilization, there must be a class of men fully trained as perfect brahmanas. Similarly, there must be kshatriyas to rule the country very nicely according to the injunctions of the shastras, and there must be vaishyas who can protect the cows. The word gavaha indicates that cows should be given protection. Because the Vedic civilization is lost, cows are not protected, but instead indiscriminately killed in slaughterhouses. Such are the acts of demons. Therefore, this is a demoniac civilization. The Varnashrama Dharma mentioned here is essential for human civilization. Unless there is a Brahmana to guide, a Kshatriya to rule perfectly, and a perfect Vaishya to produce food and protect the cows, how will people live peacefully? It is impossible. Another point is that trees also should be given protection. During its lifetime, a tree should not be cut for industrial enterprises. In Kali Yuga, trees are indiscriminately and unnecessarily cut for industry, in particular for paper mills that manufacture a profuse quantity of paper for the publication of demoniac propaganda, nonsensical literature, huge quantities of newspapers, and many other paper products. This is a sign of a demoniac civilization. The cutting of trees is prohibited unless necessary for the service of Lord Vishnu. Yagyarthat karmano yatra loko yam karma bandhanaha. Work done as a sacrifice for Lord Vishnu must be performed, otherwise work binds one to this material world. But if the paper mills stop producing paper, one may argue, how can our ISKCON literature be published? The answer is that the paper mills should manufacture paper only for the publication of ISKCON literature, because ISKCON literature is published for the service of Lord Vishnu. This literature clarifies our relationship with Lord Vishnu, and therefore the publication of ISKCON literature is the performance of yajna. Yajyartat karmana nyatra loko yam karma pandinaha. Yajna must be performed as indicated by the superior authorities. The cutting of trees simply to manufacture paper for the publication of unwanted literature is the greatest sinful act. Oh my God. So yatra yatra dvija gavo veda varnashrama priyaha tam tam jana padam yata sandipai yatra vishchita. So omagana timidanda shaganjana shalakya chakshuram meditam yena tasmai shi gurve namaha. So this reminds me of when I was young, and every Sunday, I don't know if you have this in this country, there would be delivery of the newspaper, the Sunday newspaper. And the Sunday newspaper in New York was this thick. I mean, there was a section on travel, there was a section on business, there was a section on real estate, there was a section on cars, there was a section on, you know, art, you know, art and literature, a section on books, a section on useless news. And so, you know, by the time it finished, it was about this big, a tremendous newspaper. And that was every Sunday. And of course, daily, they only had this thick newspaper. So you can imagine, I mean, in New York, there's millions and millions of people. And probably half the people in New York were getting it. This is the New York Times. And of course, that was only one newspaper. There are actually several newspapers in New York. There's the Times, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Mirror, the Long Island, whatever it is, you know. And so, actually, my mother would spend, and she still spends, in 91, like days just reading these newspapers, useless news. And actually, in addition to being useless news, it's cut into the trees. You know, paper comes from trees. And just to produce, like even her newspaper, probably one tree had to be cut down just for her. And not only did the trees have to be cut down, but I don't know if you know how paper is produced, do you? No, you don't know how paper is produced. They have to introduce so many of these chemicals into the paper-making process. There's actually bleach. What do you think? You have white paper. Did you ever see a tree with white inside like this? Occasion? I've never seen a tree like this white inside. I've seen trees brown and different colors like that, but never white. So that's bleach. You know, bleaches. Just like, you know, sometimes we have to, I was in India last year, and the person who was dyeing my dhotis dyed them too dark. So we had to put bleach on them, and you get a little bit on your hand, it actually turns spots, big spots in your hand. Did you know that? It's really bad. And it, you know, it comes out after a while, but you know, it looked like you have some disease in the meantime. It's really hell, and you splash it on your eyes, it can blind you. And that's one chemical amongst many other chemicals they use in the paper processing thing. And it all gets dumped in after they, you know, process the paper in a river. And not only does it get dumped in the river, of course, that means that so many living entities in the river, like the little fishies, are going to die. So you're, just by the process of producing paper, you're killing so many living entities. Of course, nowadays, people say, well, styrofoam, we shouldn't use styrofoam, you know, because it's not ecologically good for the environment. The paper is just as bad. Whether it's a paper plate or styrofoam plate, it's just as bad. So in any case, not only is it sinful because trees are being cut down, because trees are living entities. We have to understand that. Like, even if you're a vegetarian and you don't offer your food to Krishna, you're cutting and killing plants, right? Poor broccoli. Actually, that one time they did an experiment with plants. They put some sort of electronic device on the plants, and they could actually, the plants were feeling fear when someone was coming to cut them. And plants have consciousness. You can actually see that when the sun changes direction, you know, different times of the year, like sunflowers especially. You ever seen a sunflower? It turns around and faces the sun. It's really interesting.
Yeah, we used to happen in our house every
day.
Big sunflowers.
And they would just like turn.
In the morning they're one way, and the afternoon we see they're another way.
Yeah, they turn during the day.
Yes.
And even there's plants that eat animals. There's a plant called the Venus flytrap. You ever heard of that before?
They shut down.
They eat animals.
Interesting fact, they can only shut their mouth 3 times in their life.
Oh. That's interesting.
Yes, some, yes.
Some, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. Anyway, so the point I'm making is that the plants are living entities. So Krishna says in the Gita that if you eat without offering to him, what? You're eating sin.
Yes.
So we are not, like Prabhupada said, we should not say that we're so much that we're vegetarians. Prabhupada said we're Krishnarians. Because even if you eat vegetables, it's sinful. And people make that argument. Like we experience this a lot. You go to the university and people say, but you don't, aren't plants living entities? Then won't we say you should become vegetarians? And our response is yes. But we get a chance to offer the plants to Krishna, and Krishna never says in the Gita, offer me a little beef, a little egg, with love and devotion, and I'll accept it. Where's that verse? Offer me beef, meat, what else? Chickens with love and devotion. And Krishna doesn't say that. He says, leave for fruit a little water with love and devotion. And actually, even in the Bible, it says he who eats or kills an ox is the same as he who kills a man. Did you know that? That's there in the Bible. So anyway, getting back to the point. These living entities, like trees, are spirit souls. And if you kill them, it's grossly sinful, unless the results are being offered to Krishna. That's really the point. And just like one time I was with Prabhupada, here's a Prabhupada story, and it was in Dallas, Texas, and we were walking by the temple, and there was a nice oak tree that had been, not cut down, but some of the bigger branches had actually been cut. And Prabhupada kept pointing up like this. I remember that to this day. He pointed, what's that? What's that? And Prabhupada said, and the devotee said, that's an oak tree, Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, I know. And the devotee and Prabhupada said, why has it been cut? And they said, Prabhupada, we were afraid of it hitting the roof. And Prabhupada said, you're a rascal. I mean, wow. I mean, obviously, if the tree is damaging the property directly, you cut it down. But Prabhupada didn't want that unnecessarily being cut down. And actually, Prabhupada even considered certain types of trees to be pious and certain types of trees to be sinful. Which is interesting. Like he said, like the pine trees, he considered them to be not pious, let's say. Not, you know, of course, all trees, the living entity has committed some sin, obviously. Unless it's a tree in Vrindavan. Generally, one becomes a tree because they're attached to intoxication and sex life. Can you think of anyone who became a tree?
Manigurva
and Nalapagavara. Because they were actually bathing naked in the Ganges, Mandakini Ganges. And they didn't cover themselves. And actually, it's another thing, like Prabhupada one time went to preach to people in what's called a nudist colony. You know what that is? It's where people walk around without any clothes thinking they're liberated. You know, one time I was walking in Europe, you on the shore in Europe, and by accident I just take my japa walk, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And all of a sudden I noticed nobody has any clothes on. Hare Krishna! I said, oh my God. Another time I went to to preach from one of these things called the Rainbow Festival. You ever heard of that before? And so that's like 30,000 people without clothes on. And devotees were preaching there. It was pretty hard, you know. There were deities, and I had to show someone how to use japa beads. And they were naked. I was just thinking, this is the weirdest experience I've ever had. I last about one day there, and I just said, get me out of here. So Prabhupada said that they'll become trees in the next life because they're standing naked, like Manigriva Nala Kuvara. They were standing naked. So generally, being a tree is not pious. But there are some distinctions between pious trees and impious trees. Like a pine tree, Prabhupada said you can cut down. Because a pine tree doesn't, what? Anyone know what I'm going to say? Doesn't give shade.
Yeah.
Doesn't give fruit unless you're into pine nuts. But there's only certain types of pine trees that give pine nuts. Not all of them give pine nuts. And pine nuts are actually quite nice. Doesn't give fruit, doesn't give shade, so probably consider that to be an impious tree. Whereas an oak tree, do you have oak trees here?
No.
Too bad. What an impious country. An oak tree is, anyway, it's a really big tree with, gives a lot of shade. It spreads out over a large, anyone's here ever seen an oak tree? Do you have them in Fiji? No.
You can see a tree in Fiji which gives shade but doesn't give fruit.
We have them in Australia.
You must have oaks.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, I'm sure you have oak trees here. Anyway, so you got oak trees, and so then there's fruit trees. Fruit trees you never cut down. Pine trees can be cut down for building materials, Prabhupada said. And oak trees, generally because they give shade, or a tree that gives any sort of fruit should not be cut down. Prabhupada was talking about that.
Australian oak and Tasmanian oak.
Yeah, Tasmanian. Anyway, they're beautiful trees, and actually they make floors from them, unfortunately. And you walk on them. And of course, a good way to make floors from an impious tree is the bamboo. You know, the bamboo doesn't give fruit or shade or anything like that. All it does is produce dandas for sannyasis.
What about the flowers that?
Yeah, some of the bamboo, some of them have flowers and some of them don't.
Oh.
It's actually one of the fastest growing trees that there are, isn't it? Like each year can grow many meters. Mm-hmm. Incredibly growing. Anyway, so therefore, even amongst trees, there's some distinction as which trees could be cut down, which trees could not be cut down. And Prabhupada was very strict in those principles. So, anyway, so the point is that whatever we do in this world, we are affecting other living entities. Even breathing. Did you know that? And if you are breathing without offering your fruits of your work and your activities to Krishna, that's sinful. Of course, you have the Jains who try to avoid breathing in any microbes. You know about that? They put a mask on their face. You ever see them? But it doesn't work. And every time you start the car, guess what happens? And can anyone guess? So many microbes get sucked into the intake of the car. You know what intake is? In every single centimeter air, there's millions or at least thousands of different living entities. If you use a microscope, you can actually see that. And so, by living, we are harming so many living entities. There's no way to avoid it. And if we don't offer the fruits of our activities and our life to Krishna, we have to suffer because of that. When you step on the grass, you're harming living entities. When you take your lawn, do you have lawnmowers here?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah.
Not here. It's all concrete anyway. You don't have to mow the concrete. It doesn't grow. You have a little grass. When you mow the grass, can you imagine if I took a big machine over your head? And all the hair is a living entity, each hair. A living entity, because it's growing. I mean, so you're committing volumes of violent activities just by living. I mean, here Prabhupada talks about, you know, newspapers, which is obviously violent, polluting the environment and everything like that. But even just breathing, going somewhere in a car, you know, the electricity, using the electricity, where's the electricity coming from? Where did it come from, Keshav?
Many different sources. So, for example, nuclear energy, renewable energies. For example, wave energy, geothermal energy.
Yeah, but what about burning coal?
Yeah.
Do you have coal? I understand here in Australia you have quite a bit of coal, right?
Yes.
Yes, so we use
a lot. So you're burning coal. 92% is coming from coal burning. So living entities being hurt there. And actually coal and oil, where does coal and oil, won't you tell us?
Sorry?
Where does coal and oil come from?
Coal is from the ground.
Yeah, but what is it previously?
Oh,
trees.
Trees. And oil was living entities. Over millions of years, the oil has actually been produced from the bodies of living entities, whether you know that or not. But it's organic, it's a carbon, practically anything that's carbon-based comes from a living entity. Not everything, but practically anything that's, almost everything that's carbon-based. And you're burning carbon compounds. That's why you get CO2 or COO, you know, carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide. Did you know that? So anyway, so the point I'm making is, it's a cruel world. And we should be Krishna conscious to avoid harming other living entities unnecessarily. That's the point Prabhupada is making here. So Prabhupada here says something really radical, that the only use of trees and or the only use of paper is to produce Krishna conscious literature. Mm-hmm. I would expand on that. I would say, and other literature that is useful in Krishna's service. You know, obviously, there's other literature, you know, how to do books, you know, how to do RT, or, you know, how to fix your car if you're going to use in Krishna's service. So that I would expand that. Because when we're talking about Krishna consciousness, it means direct Krishna consciousness and Krishna's service. So we're not being so radical to say that only Bhagavatam should be published. But anything can be used in Krishna's service to educate people. You know, learning languages, learning history, obviously. But not useless literature like these stupid newspapers that we were talking about before the other devotees came. You know, piles and piles of newspapers that they produce. And even if they say, well, we're recycling the paper. You heard about this before?
Yes.
But the way they recycle the paper is using these hellish chemicals again. It's not that they just recycle the paper and they chant Hare Krishna and the paper turns white again. But they have to dissolve the newspaper using all these hellish chemicals, you know, some sort of acid or whatever they use, and then use bleach again, and then pollute so many other streams, and so many more animals get killed in the stream. So many streams get polluted. Did you know the paper making process is pretty bad?
Pretty bad.
Pretty bad process. And so, therefore, better do everything for Krishna. Otherwise, it's sinful. Okay, and that's the point here. So, any questions or comments? Yes?
So you were saying that how in the Bible it says killing like an ox is the same as killing like a man?
Yeah.
So in school, doing the Ten Commandments in Krishna studies, and then one of the commandments...
Thou shalt not kill.
Yeah, so I asked the teacher, if that's a commandment, he was like, you should follow all the commandments. I was like, then why do we kill animals? He was like, oh, but then Jesus said that you can eat a certain type of hooved animals.
When did Jesus say that?
See, I don't know that. It's nowhere in the Bible.
Nowhere in the Bible does Jesus say
you can eat certain types. But then my teacher said that you can eat only certain types of hooved animals.
Oh, so yeah. So he was referring to the Old Testament has the... It's called Leviticus. It's part of the Old Testament. It deals with the laws of what's called kosher, which is similar to halal. The same thing, actually. That's where the Muslims got their particular laws. That you can't. It says you can't eat animals with certain types of hooves.
Yeah.
You know, like the fish. Not the fish. I like the pigs with the cloven hooves. You know, that's Leviticus. And when you kill the animal, you have to kill it in a certain way so it doesn't chant Hare Krishna. No, so it doesn't feel pain. You have to kill it quickly, humanely. But those injunctions are there. Jesus did not recite those injunctions. He actually was Jewish, and the Jewish people followed the injunctions, but Jesus Christ himself did not advocate kosher killing. But the kosher injunctions or the halal injunctions are there for those who are going to eat meat to limit their meat consumption. You understand? It's just like if you have laws about, let's say, buying alcohol, where you can buy alcohol. Like if you wanted to buy alcohol, could you buy alcohol?
No.
Why?
Underage.
You're underage. What age is it here?
18.
I guess you're just waiting until you get to that point. So, like if you wanted to buy alcohol, you can't because you're too young. And if I wanted to, I couldn't because I'm too old. Not really. There's no age limit. There's no age limit in destroying your brain. Anyway, so that's what alcohol does. Even a little bit destroys the brain. So the government is restricting it to regulate it because if there was a good government, they would understand people are going to do it anyway, so you regulate it to minimize it. But of course, we don't have a good government, so the government is regulating the alcohol distribution so they can tax it and make money from it, right? My understanding is most countries, alcohol has a higher tax than anything else. So these are called sin taxes. That's a grammatical term, sin tax. But these are called, in America we call them sin taxes. Call them here sin taxes too? So the government justifies it by saying we're trying to restrict the consumption, but actually what they're trying to do is make money. And they find that people are so addicted to these substances, no matter what you charge, they'll buy it. Like sometimes I'm going through the airport, coming in to a country or going out of the country, and it's become a big liquor store now, isn't it? And, one bottle, like $80, unbelievable. Special discount today, only $50, you can buy two for the price of one. I mean, it's just crazy. Anyway, so the point is, in the Bible, there is some limitation of, sense gratification. But people are not going to stop it. I mean, even like it probably even mentions like prostitution. It's not that these things can be stopped because there's always a lower class of person who's going to do these things. So at least you limit these things to certain parts of the city or certain individuals who can partake of it. And anyway, that's Krishna consciousness. Even when Krishna came to Dwarka, there's a description in the Bhagavatam that, there were some of the prostitutes were there greeting him. They were great devotees of the Lord. We're not saying that that's a desirable occupation. However, understanding that society is composed of people with different, let's say, modes of nature, people are going to be drunkards. People are going to drink kava in every society. But you want to understand this is only for low-class people. You understand that? So people are going to eat meat in every society. That's why you have the injunction, if you're going to eat a goat, offer it to the goddess Kali once a month. Because people are going to eat anyway. So why not regulate them? Why not have them realize that it's sinful or engage in some, chanting of some mantras, like when they do it. So that's the laws of kosher or halal. So you can tell that to the teacher. But Jesus Christ, in the Bible it says, in the kingdom of God, the lion will lie down with the lamb. That means nobody's going to kill anyone else in the kingdom of God. And eating meat is grossly sinful and also bad for the health anyway. That's another issue.
We've got a whole booklet on why it's bad for the health.
Yeah. You can just tell the teacher it's bad for the health. His body belongs to Krishna. Why should we damage it by doing something that's bad for the health, right? Mm-hmm. So, argue with your teacher. And actually, another argument that Christians use when we say that Jesus Christ said, or the Bible says, thou shalt not kill, they say, well, it's actually murder rather than killing.
That's what they're... Skill.
Yeah. That's what they say. It's actually, but the word is not murder in Hebrew. Because I studied Hebrew. I used to be able to read Hebrew when I was young. Not anymore. But, and the word is actually kill, not murder. So they make so many excuses. And then you have in the New Testament, you have Paul, who basically throws out all the rules and regulations of the Old Testament. Did you know about this? Most Christians follow Paul more than any other saint or personality, and Paul never even met Jesus Christ. And he threw out all the regulations. He said, well, it doesn't matter what you eat. That's it. He said it doesn't matter what you eat. So that was Paul. Paul's contribution to religiosity. And most 99.99% of the Christians they follow, who they call Saint Paul, rather than the original apostles of Jesus Christ. Anyway, so any other questions or comments? Yes. Who was what?
Krishna was saying something about wine and the fish that Jesus Christ offered.
That's an that's interesting. Wine and fish. First of all, usually it wasn't wine, it was grape juice. You know, it's grape juice. It wasn't, you know, it's not that they were getting intoxicated. Sometimes they would ferment the grape juice to a certain extent, not that it was like really alcoholic, to preserve it. You know, it wasn't like, you know, 50%, you know, 100 proof. Not that they were getting drunk or anything like that. As far as the fish, there's a description that the fish, the sign of the fish was an ancient Christian sign, because Christianity was like a secret community. And so the fish, you know, you actually see in the ancient Christian inscriptions, there's actually a fish there. Not because they ate fish, because it was the sign, you know, like a secret sign when you meet someone, like a secret ring, like Masonic ring or something like that, that they would do that. And also, Prabhupada said, if they were in a place where there were no vegetables available, which is probably where they were, because if you go to the desert area, there's not many stalks of broccoli, mangoes, or anything else growing. And basically, you may have to eat some animals in a circumstance like that. Like if I was marooned on the in the South Pole, somehow or other I got there, and marooned there. You know what maroon means?
Stuck.
Yeah, maroon means nobody else is around to save you. I would have to eat fish just to survive. So there's a law of survival. In that case, yes. If there's no vegetables available, then you just have to eat whatever's available to stay alive and preach Krishna consciousness. Just like there's a story about, this is an interesting story about Viswamitra one time. There was a drought and no vegetables were growing. Anyone heard this story before? And so, oh my God, this is a horrible story, but it's in the Mahabharata and the Ramayana. So there's a big drought, he's hungry, getting ready to die, and then he goes into Malecha's house, and he sees there's, oh my God, the hind portion of a dog hanging out, because the Malecha was eating. I told you wouldn't like this story. So he's hanging there, you know, like the meat eaters, they hang meat sometimes. If you go past the restaurants or something like that, there'll be a slab of meat. And so he says to the Malecha, you know, I'm hungry, you know, I'm going to die. And Malecha says, you're a Brahmin, you're not supposed to do this. So there's an argument back and forth, back and forth. Finally, he convinces the Malecha, and he takes it, and he has to live. So it's not considered sinful in that particular case. Prabhupada said, if one has to eat meat, one could eat a lower creature, not the cow. Never eat the cow. But if it's a question of you're dying, I mean, what are you going to do? Right? Would you die? You'd have to eat the fish. Or if you're in the South Pole, a penguin.
Oh, no.
But fortunately, we are not in that circumstance. You can go to your neighborhood supermarket and get all sorts of fruits and vegetables from all around the world. But, you know, the survival, you have to do things that you ordinarily wouldn't want to do. But you have to engage in Krishna service. It's not that you survive just for the sake of surviving. But if you're not engaged in Krishna service, even if you're eating vegetables, it's sinful. You'll get karma. Of course, the karma is not as heavy as when you're eating meat. That's heavy karma. But still, there's some karma. Jivasa, jivasa, jivanam. One living entity exists by eating or consuming another living entity. Okay? Any other questions? Yes.
Excuse me, Guru Dev. The strip you've been talking about, Varnashram.
Varnashram, yeah.
So think, what's the thought process? Because we are saying it is gone.
Yeah.
Trying to be Vaishnavas and cultivate Brahmical qualities. So if we have the four in the Shudras and the Vaishnavas.
Yeah.
So with those qualities, like, how do you be a devotee and...
Well, you still try to cultivate Brahminical qualities, but you're attracted and accustomed and good at a particular type of work, which will keep you happy when you're doing that work for Krishna. For example, I mean, let's take yourself. Like, what are you attracted to doing? What do you like to do?
Contracts.
Cornflakes?
Contracts.
Oh, contracts. But you like using your mind, right? Yeah. I mean, your job, you're not out there digging ditches or anything. Yeah. You're in charge of other people, you're using your mind. You like being a boss, don't you? Isn't it? I mean, a lot of people working under you. Yeah, you're like a manager of managers. So your propensity is kshatriya. So if we put you in a different situation, let's say all day long you just were doing deity worship, I don't think you'd be happy. I don't think you'd be happy. I think because you have a mind that's more accustomed to managing, figuring things out, right? You have to figure things out. Yeah. Sometimes you have to think outside the box and different solutions. You like that. You wouldn't be just like, I mean, even though you're attracted, you may do some deity service, but you're not going to do it 10 hours a day, are you?
Yeah.
I don't think you'd be happy. So therefore, you know, you're kshatriya. But you're cultivating the mode of goodness in your activities, in your consciousness, in your sadhana. But you have a particular propensity, and if you're doing anything else, like if I put you outside digging ditches all day long, would you be happy? If I put you, let's say, in the stock market, you could figure it out. But I mean, like, investing and everything like that, making money, you're not that, you know, that's you, that's not your interest, just money, you're interested in just managing things and controlling things, and so that's a kshatriya. I mean, it's easy to ascertain someone's psychophysical nature, and you'll be happy doing that, and you wouldn't be happy doing anything else for so many hours a day. You like your work, isn't it? So if you think about it. And then, you know, you got Navadweep, who's like going around selling different. Yeah, he's selling his company, you know, like that, you know. He's not out. Yeah, I mean, you're not climbing the power poles or anything like that.
I wouldn't last.
He wouldn't last. He would be happy because he's using his brain selling. And he's also managing. So there's a mixture of Vaishya and kshatriya there. Because you like selling, don't you?
It
works well. But I mean, like, when you sell a contract, don't you feel like a little joy in your heart?
It excites.
So there's a little vaishya and kshatriya there. We go around the room. And Keshav, what do you like to do? Sleep. So
no, I like violent games.
No, but when you get older, you'll see something different. And Isha, what do you like?
I don't.
If you were going to pick something to do all day long for 10 hours a day, what would
it?
Read. Read, so she's a Brahmin. She's a Brahmin. Because you really like reading, learning about things. And you don't like money so much. I mean, you like it, but it's not like...
Money is important, but like...
It's not on your mind all day long.
No.
And do you like to control people?
I can if I want to.
But not all day long. I mean, you wouldn't like to have a bunch of employees under you, would you?
I would not.
It'd be really frustrating. So she's a Brahmin. And it's easy to understand people's nature. And it's not that one is better than the other, it's just everybody's different. I mean, Arjuna is a pure devotee. And he liked to protect, he liked to fight, he was chivalrous. You know, these are all the kshatriya. You know, kshatriya really wants dharma, wants to do the right thing, to be honest. I mean, just like Yeah, so if one is a Kshatriya, then that's the mood, being honest.
You are a full Kshatriya.
No. You're Kshatriya?
Yeah.
Coming to Mohini,
you're
Kshatriya. So she may be a Kshatriya, I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. So what can you do all day long and be happy?
Oh, I know. Sit on the computer all day long.
That's what I
am. No, it's not. You can do different things on the computer. There's not the computer itself indicates one's varna.
Thinking,
planning, managing. So, like Kshatriya type of stuff. She's probably more Brahminical. Does she like deity service?
Reading is actually so boring.
Reading is fun.
See, look at the difference.
So boring!
And you learn in a fun way. Yeah.
So look at the difference. He's definitely not a Brahmin. If I had to guess, he's probably Vaishya. Yeah, he's probably Vaishya. You know, he'll engage in some occupation and likes money.
Yes.
I had a brother like that, and he would keep money under his mattress. It would make him secure so he could sleep well at night. And of course, I knew where it was. So, so that's Varnashram. But you cultivate love of Krishna and service to Krishna, and also you do cultivate Brahminical qualities like being equal poise and everything like that, but your work is inclined towards a particular mode of nature. Mm. Otherwise, you're not going to be happy. Very few people are going to be happy just doing puja all day long. Some people are. We have one devotee in our temple in North Carolina. He's happy, so Brahminical, chants extra rounds, does puja all day long. You know, he's in ecstasy. So it's just everybody's different. Okay, so that's Varnashram. Okay, we got to end now. We don't have a lot to do today, but it's a vacation day. All glorious to Srila Prabhupada, to the Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, you got a lot of people watching. Neela Madhava was there.